You will know peace in your heart, that you will know his presence in your home. You'll be very conscious as an individual that the Lord cares for you and is able to meet your need. Know that as we look around us, plenty of needs today among God's people, plenty of concerns, and we do trust that the Lord will undertake for you whatever your need is. Special word of welcome to the folk from Ackerley Free Presbyterian Church. But again, we do widen that welcome out to everyone who's listening. And we know that some who listen don't live in Northern Ireland, and we certainly do give to you a very warm word of welcome as well. And we trust that as we share a little time together today, that the Lord will draw near to you. Just one or two things by way of announcement to make to our own people. We will have another message up this evening for 6:30. Please do listen and pray that the Lord will use the word. It will be a gospel theme. Pray that the Lord will use his word to speak to those that are not saved. And also, we want to remind you about our prayer meeting on Wednesday night. Wednesday evening, we will be Zooming. We did Zoom on Wednesday night past for our prayer time, and I think it went very well. And this Wednesday night, we're going to be meeting at 8 o'clock, and we will Zoom there. We'll bring a short word and then seek the Lord together. We encourage you, as many as can, to join us. You do not have to pray audibly, so you needn't be worrying about that. And if you do, that'll be absolutely fine, but you're not obliged. Don't let that put you off joining with us on Wednesday evening. We are meeting. When I say we are meeting, the Presbytery has organised for Saturday the 30th of January, another day of prayer. The two seasons begin at 10 a.m. and then at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And we trust, if you can, that you'll join for those seasons of prayer. Very, very important for us, or at least one of them anyway. And you can register, as you did the last time. There have been a lot of people registering already for the morning meeting. I know that a couple of days ago, there were over 400 had registered at that time. So it's very encouraging and very important that we seek the Lord in prayer. The details of that day of prayer can be found on the Facebook page of the Free Presbyterian Church, and some details also on Ackerley Free Presbyterian Church Facebook page. Please do remember, folks, to pray for those who are unwell. I did mention last Wednesday evening some names to you of people who have not been well, and there are others too and known to you. And do remember, please, to pray one for another, and praying that the Lord would take this virus away. We know that he's allowed it to come along, and we're looking to him in his sovereign care to look after his people and to answer prayer for us and to come and to move it away in his own time. Remember especially those who haven't been able to be out of church much at all, even over recent months, that the Lord would meet their need and give them much encouragement in these days. And while we're here, able to meet together on Zoom or to share Facebook, let's not forget about our missionaries, those who are far away and the need of prayers to sustain them, and to pray that the Lord would give them tokens for good in these days. So we're going to have a word of prayer together, please, and then we will have, after that, a Bible reading, and then we'll bring some thoughts to your attention this morning. So let's just bow together in prayer, please. Father in heaven, we do thank thee for thy love and grace and goodness. Thank you, Lord, for thy day. And Lord, while we are not able to meet in the way that we love to, thank you, Lord, that we can still share a word with the people. We pray for all who will listen. Do remember every need. Remember those who are anxious, Lord, some concerned about their health or the health of others. Lord, we pray for them. We do remember those of our friends and family that are involved in frontline services. Lord, that you might be with them and all the others too that are helping out in that way at this time. Remember, Lord, those who are laid aside. We pray that the Lord would minister to them. And we ask that in and through all of this, that thy name would be glorified. Lord, we never thought that we would ever live in this kind of day. But Lord, we recognize continually now how quickly things can change. And we have been all made to realize that nothing is certain. And Lord, we thank thee that God is still the same. The same yesterday and today and forever. And his word doesn't change. It is truth unchanged, unchanging. And Lord, as we read it now and look to it, we pray that you would use it, Lord, to strengthen thine own dear people. Bless the folk in Ackerley. those who are listening from somewhere else too, maybe people, Lord, who are lonely and maybe don't have much fellowship, or others, Lord, who have become frustrated or distressed. May the Lord use the word now read and preached. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to read some verses as they're found over there in John's Gospel, chapter 15. Maybe you would turn there with me, please. John's Gospel, chapter 15. The previous chapter, the Lord has been promising the Comforter, who would bring all things to the remembrance of God's people, all the things that he had taught unto them. And how blessed we are to know the third person of the Trinity is always with us, and he does always speak to our heart. He shows us, when we come to the Word especially, he shows us Christ. And as we read the Word today, we trust that that will be the case. Reading in the opening verse of John chapter 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Amen. And we trust that the Lord will bless his word, already read to our hearts this morning. Those words in verse 5 where it says, ye are the branches, are the words that I want to focus your attention upon for a wee while this morning. You will notice here also that the Lord has said, I am the vine. The vine is not one of the most notable trees. When you compare it to the likes of the cedar and you think of loftiness, well, it doesn't really compare with the cedar. When you think of strength and you compare it with the oak, well, then it doesn't really come off very well in comparison with the oak. But as the Lord here compares himself to the vine, he said, I am the vine. We are reminded that we read in the word of God that he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. That's the general attitude of the world today still. And yet to you and I who know him, he is precious. And we know that he is the vine. And while the vine, as far whenever you look upon it, it may not have the strength of the oak or the loftiness of the cedar, and it may not have the attractiveness there of the palm tree, yet the vine that we look to is one that is absolutely essential for us as we seek to go on with the Lord, and not one that we constantly rely on. There's one thing that is very notable about the vine. The vine is renowned for its fertility. You think even in the Old Testament, when we read about when the spies went out to spy out the land of Canaan, and they brought back as a token, one of the tokens that they returned with was a cluster of grapes. And they brought back that great cluster of grapes to show the fruitfulness of the land. But whenever you think of it, that vine that is not lofty doesn't seem to be very strong. It doesn't seem to be something which holds the attention of men for very long. You think of the great clusters of grapes that the vine can bring forth. And of course, as we look at this vine, already you can see a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The vine is something then which we want to draw your attention to today. We want you to remember that the Lord Jesus Christ, he is our vine. He also says in that same passage that we read in John 15, that without me, ye can do nothing. You and I have already proved that, and we know that to be the case, that without him, we can do nothing. But looking at those words, ye are the branches, I want you to know today, Christian, that far from being able to do nothing, you can do a lot because of the vine. You can do a lot because of the vine. The title vine, the title of the message today, simply is those words, ye are the branches. There's several thoughts that I want to leave with you. The first one is this: there is the thought of connection. You see, the branch is connected to the vine. And really, one is part of the other. And so it is when you and I turn from our sin. When we are born again of God's Spirit, God brings us into his family. We're adopted into it. We come into union with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are at one with him. And that is something which means a lot to you today, Christian. To know that you're saved for eternity. To know that with all the uncertainty around you, to know that it's well with your soul. And to know that God has you here on earth right now as an instrument for him. We're still thinking here of the connection, the word connection. And when you think of that, it brings to our thoughts, to our attention, some other thoughts. And the first one is the thought of being held. You're held, Christian. It's well with you. And you will fail. And sometimes you may be grieved at yourself. Maybe I'm speaking to someone right now and you've been beating yourself up all week. You haven't been praying as you used to. You haven't opened the Word of God the way you used to. Maybe you had an opportunity to witness to someone and you passed it by. And you're feeling at a low ebb. And you wonder why God would love you still. Well, I want to say that you and I, there's nothing happens to you but such as common to man. And man is prone to fail. We're not making excuses for sin. We're simply saying that we seem almost to naturally fail as mere men. But God never fails. And because of your union with the Lord Jesus Christ, that which is can never be dissolved. Number one, you are held. You are held today. And I want you to remember that. Over there in 1 Peter chapter 1, Paul was writing to the believers there. He talks to them in verse 3 of chapter 1 of them having been begotten unto a lively hope, reminding them of all that they have in the Lord Jesus Christ and all that lies before them as well. And this is important for us too, Christian. To always remember this. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And then it goes on to say something that reminds us that we're held. It says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Now you already have salvation because you've been saved. But in the great culmination of God's work, when he comes back for his church, there will be that completing, the culmination of that work of redemption when he will come for his own people, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, you saw the word there, who are kept. Kept by the power of God literally means kept in the power of God. So you failed this week. But that does not mean you have to fail today or tomorrow or necessarily the day after that. The important thing here that we're drawing your attention to is that, Christian, you are held. You're held by the power of God. In the Lord's great high priestly prayer over in John chapter 17, we could talk a long time from this chapter. It is a great prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says there in verse 21, I want to clear something up here, first of all, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Modernists will take that verse and say, there you are. Everyone goes to heaven. Or even, no matter what a man believes, you can have fellowship with him, even if he denies that salvation is through Christ alone. Well, that is not what it's teaching. It says that they all may be one. Well, it's simply referring to the verse before that, verse 20. Neither pray I for these only, but for them also which shall believe on me through the word. So when you read the word all, it's referring to all nations and all colors and all backgrounds. And the Lord is saying concerning them, those that he came to die for, that as they believe on him, they will be kept. Because it says there in the word in verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that is Judas, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And Christian, you ought to go and read John chapter 17 in your own time and consider the great prayer and some of the parts of that petition that the Lord Jesus makes for his own there. And you will come away encouraged and I trust convinced that you're held. So there is the thought of you and I as a branches. Number one, we are held. But number two, we are heard. Well, why would the Lord hear me? And maybe I'm speaking to a Christian and you feel almost too unworthy to open your mouth to the Lord. I was speaking to a young lady one day, not very long ago, and the way she's living, she's so embarrassed to even mention the Lord's name in front of me now. Time was when she walked well, it seemed. But you know, when you get even to that position, the Lord will hear you if you cry out of a true heart. He's able to give joy again, gladness, able to hear you. The psalmist so often said that the Lord would hear him. And all through the scriptures, God's people sometimes, with all of their trials and tribulations, some of their problems were relatively small. And some of them were huge. And so it is in your life and mine. We always hope that our crises are relatively small. But no matter what we do, occasionally, a very serious one comes along. And I don't know exactly who all I'm speaking to today, but your crisis may be a little one. Maybe you're a little bit anxious about something. Or it may be a very great one, a great burden that at this present time you've been called to bear. And you feel that you need assistance. Well, dear Christian friend, wherever you are, the Lord is only a prayer away. You can call upon him. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Maybe you don't know what you're going to do. You just can't see any light at the end of the tunnel. Well, look to him again today. Because remember that he hears you. And he must hear you today because you are united to the Lord Jesus Christ and you are heard for Jesus' sake. Whatever your problem is, remember there's great concern there concerning this pandemic at the moment. Maybe you have a relative and they're in the NHS and they're in there working and you're worried about them. Or maybe someone in your family is suffering from this COVID or from something else. And you're greatly concerned and you don't know what the future holds. Well, neither do any of us. We read a little bit about it earlier. There is an inheritance there, undefiled and incorruptible, that fadeth not away for you. But in the meantime, we cannot tell with any degree of certainty exactly what the future holds. But we can know this, Christian. Not only are you held today because of your connection, your union with Christ. You're the branch, he's the vine. You're held, but you're also heard. But there's another thought here. You have purpose. There's a certain percentage of God's people today, along with people who are not saved. And they've got to the point where they feel perhaps there's not that much purpose in their life. Please listen carefully. God has you here for a purpose. It may not be exactly what you planned or the way you would have arranged it, but God has you here for a purpose. And our purpose is to glorify him. We love to glorify him by going to church, preaching in the pulpit and singing along with God's people and having that fellowship together and coming away in the evening time and feeling we've met here twice today and we've glorified the Lord. And so we have. There's so much more to glorifying him than that. And wherever you are just now, you can glorify him there. Again, if I can mention John 17 to you there, where the Lord Jesus was saying that concerning his own, that when he was praying for them, praying for people like you and I, that the Lord would not take us away, but rather, it says in verse 9, I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. He's praying for you, Christian, and he's praying not that the Lord would, that God would take you away out of this world, but rather he's praying that the Lord would keep you. He would keep you, and he has therefore a purpose for you. Maybe this week someone will come to you and they're at the end of their tether and they need someone to tell them about the Lord. I trust that the Lord will give you the opportunity to do that. Maybe someone you need, you know, what they really need right now is someone to simply show to them a simple act of kindness. Maybe your neighbor. Maybe someone who you thought didn't really need any kindness shown to them, but they desperately need it. The Lord is able to give you an opportunity to do that. Who knows what goodness you're doing when you give that act of kindness or you show that act of kindness. There is a connection here that the branch is connected to the vine. So as branches, we are held, we are heard, we have purpose. But I want to say something else, and it's just being honest with you. We can be harmed. We can be harmed over there in John 17 again. You will read there of the various difficulties, implying the various difficulties that would come upon God's people. For instance, verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. Now, there may be some young people listening, and far be it from me to want to discourage you, but I wouldn't want to lie to you. And I want you to listen to these words carefully. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. And it goes on to say, because they are not of the world. And dear young Christian, if you don't fall in with the world's ways, in some ways, and again, I don't want to discourage you, but in some ways, you will be resented. Of course, the Lord can give you favor with whoever he chooses to give you favor with. And if you're a person who's nice to people and who's genuine and sincere in your attitude, then all around you, people may like you. But don't expect the whole world to love you. The Bible says, woe to you when all men speak well of you. And that harm can come not necessarily by physical harm. There can be character assassination, marginalization, bad mouthing, making fun of, all of those things which can affect people. And it is going to be something that we're going to have to live with as long as we're here on the earth. So when you think of the connection here, God's people are held, they're heard, they have purpose, they can be harmed. And that may mean just by going against everything that you believe in and stand for. Others are going against it with great fervor and great zeal to try to push to one side the teaching of the word. And you love the word. You want to stand up for the word. And then when you do that, you realize that you may be in a minority. Remember this, the Lord is with you. You're a branch. And the Lord Jesus is the vine. There's not just the thought here of connection, but also when you think of the branch, you think of consecration. because the branch really is of the very same kind as the vine. Remember the Lord, he became flesh and dwelt among us. And you again, you are united to him. Yes, he is deity, he is God the Son. But you are united to him. And therefore, as the Bible teaches us in so many places, he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and we know that he cares about us and our sorrows and in our difficulties and in our trials. But I'm looking at the word here, consecration. The branch is part of the vine. Therefore, it's like the vine. It's like the vine. You would not look at a vine and say, well, there's the branch and there's the vine. You would simply say, there's the vine. The branch is part of that. And for that reason, you and I who are branches, we would want to have that Christ-likeness about us. People watch, we've said that before. The world watches on. We want to have that Christ-likeness about us. And with that in mind, so many things we could mention, but we just want to mention you our thought life. Our thought life is so important when it comes to being like the Lord. Over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul is speaking here to the young church at Corinth, and he's saying, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Bringing into captivity every thought. Our thoughts, really, are the seed of our actions. And how you and I think, Christian, the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And if you think about something enough, you're going to want to be that, or you're going to want to do that. And therefore, our thoughts are very, very important. And it's so important that we be very careful regarding our thoughts. And in fact, again, if I can just say to young people, if you want to glorify the Lord in your life, and I'm sure you do, you cultivate a good thought life. Again, when Paul was writing to the church at Philippi, he says in verse 8 of chapter 4 of Philippians, the peace of God which passeth all, this is verse 7, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Where it says there are things of good report, it means simply means venerable or worthy of reverence. And all of those things in that verse 8, being truthful and honest and just and pure and lovely, Christ epitomizes all of those things. But you and I, remember, we're to be consecrated to him, and we're to him for Christ-likeness. Therefore, the apostle here is saying to think on these things. Think on these things. The word's corrupt. And what is spewed out on the television screen or in the DVDs or whatever will corrupt your thinking. And then there's no doubt about it. And then when the thinking is corrupted, the action will follow after. And you're a branch. When the world looks at Christ and you, it sees us as one. When you look at a vine, you see the branches and the vine all as one. And when the world looks at us, it judges Christ by what it sees in us. And we've only had time to draw attention to one thing. How important is our thought life? Over in Proverbs 4, we read there about thinking, keeping our heart, our thought life. And when that is the case, then we're careful what we hear, careful what we look at, careful where we go and what we say. And overall, we're consecrated to him. Consecrated to him who is the vine. There is the thought here of connection. That is our union with Christ. We are branch, he is the vine. The thought of consecration, our aiming at Christ-likeness, knowing the Lord's help. But then there is the thought of conveying. The branches, and you can read this in John 15, are very useful. And it is the branches, remarkably, that yields the fruit. It is the branches of the vine. That is where not only do you find fruit there, you find beauty. You find beauty there in the branches. Again, let's think of us as branches united by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. The world looks on, it sees a man or woman or young person seeking to live a godly life. And whatever else they might think, they have to know that you're different there. Therefore, they will look at us, number one, we may be drawing attention to him by what we do, and we trust that that will be the case, that we will seek to draw attention to him, indeed, in all that we do. But not only drawing attention to him, that we will be displaying fruit. We've mentioned so often in our church the fruit of the Spirit, and it was never more important than it is today. I trust that the Lord will help you. I know you want to do your best as I do. And in these difficult days, when it's so easy to be upset with the situation, and so easy just to get down under it all, we're still the branches. And he is still the vine. There's still the connection. There still needs to be the consecration. And then there can be the conveying of the message of Christ. Because when people look upon us, we're drawing attention. When you look at a vine with lots of grapes, the attention's not drawn to the branch, it's drawn to the vine. And that's what we want to do, to draw attention to him. There's a drawing attention, the displaying of fruit, but then when that is the case, there is the delivering of hope. And all around us, there's men with heavy, empty hearts. People maybe that you know, maybe you'll see some today or tomorrow. They don't seem to have a lot of purpose in life outside their home life and material things. They certainly don't have the hope that you have. But I want you to take encouragement today. Again, I might not know you, but wherever you are, take encouragement in this. You are a branch, and the Lord Jesus is still the vine. And just as that vine, and I mentioned it was noted, the vine is noted for its fertility and how there were great clusters of grapes on many vines. The Lord is still able to help you today, to meet your every need, to enable you to bring forth fruit in accordance with his will, because he is still the vine and we are still the branches. May the Lord encourage you today. Bless his word to all of our hearts. We thank you for listening. In Jesus' name, amen.